We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples and Robin Cole here on the show this morning. We've been talking a lot about the impacts that the current health crisis is having on mental health, and boy, it's created some quite a bit of challenges for a lot of folks. And as you mentioned earlier, every individual situation is different. Let's talk a little bit about access to services and how that is being done right now.
Yes, absolutely. You know, all of our buildings are closed to client access with some limited exceptions. We are still having folks come into the building who need injections for their medications, and then also folks who need access to medications are still coming into our building. Our Crisis Stabilization Center, of course, is still open, and we're still providing services at that facility at 1558 Hayes Drive. Crisis services are still available on a walk-in basis, and that's for people across our whole 10 counties. We also are, of course, still available through our crisis telephone line 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And so that phone number is being answered as usual. We also are still providing some community-based services in the community, and those services are specifically for adults who have severe and persistent mental illnesses, and then also children who have serious emotional disturbances. Most of those services are being done by telephone or televideo, but if we can identify a safe location and comply with social distancing rules, then we are still working with some of those individuals in the community. Probably the most important thing that I would want to emphasize is that we are still open to take on new clients. And so if there are individuals who aren't already in services, but they feel like they really need the support of a professional therapist to help them cope with the changes or the stress or anxiety or depression that they're feeling during this time, they are still able to access care at Pawnee Mental Health as a new client. We've tried to make things easy for people in that regard by putting all of our admissions paperwork on our website. So individuals who have access to a computer can fill that out online and submit it. But individuals who do not have access to a computer can phone us, and we can have our intake clerks complete that admissions paperwork for them over the telephone. So there shouldn't be any barrier to access to treatment for people who are needing services at this point.
Very good to know. Have you seen, has there been a steady volume at the stabilization center there?
You know, when the governor first declared the state of emergency, probably in that first week afterwards, we saw a reduction in the number of people who were at the crisis stabilization center, but we saw an increase in the number of phone calls that were coming in. And so people were clearly anxious and upset and reaching out for support, but not as many were coming into the facility. But that lasted for only about a week. And then we saw the numbers increase again, where we're back to running near capacity with people coming in and then being discharged on a nearly daily basis. So the access to the Crisis Stabilization Center after that first week where it dipped a little bit has continued to be pretty high during this this healthcare crisis.
Well, we were talking a little bit earlier about addiction, and you mentioned off air here just kind of a reminder here that you'd like to share with folks.
Yes, you know, when we were talking about addiction, it just made me think back to some of my very early experiences and I'm going back lots of years into some of my early experiences with working with addictions. And, you know, part of what I did during that time was to participate in and attend some AA meetings, as well as to attend and participate in some inpatient treatment for people who had addictions. And it was within that context that I was first introduced to a prayer that really has been made famous by AA. And I think that for people who are involved with Alcoholics Anonymous, they're going to be very familiar with this prayer. It's called the Serenity Prayer. And it essentially boils down to three things. And the three prayers, or the three appeals, are: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I love that prayer because, again, when you break it down into three parts, that first part is, I need serenity. And I need serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. And that's a tall order. You know, it's very difficult for us to sometimes accept the things that happen in our lives that we can't change. And there's a whole lot that's going on right now that we can't change. And, you know, that creates a pretty huge sense of a loss of control. And none of us like to lose control. But there are some circumstances and some situations that we don't have control over and that we can't change. And so one of the things that we strive for is that need to be able to accept things that we cannot change. But then the second part of that AA Serenity Prayer is reflects on needing to have the courage to change the things that we can. Because there are some things that we can change. There are some things about our lives and about our situations that are within our control to influence or to make a difference in. And when I think about just the issues we're struggling with now as individuals and as a community, things like, what's our daily routine? What are we eating? What are we drinking? What are our nighttime rituals? Are we going to bed at a reasonable time? What are we taking into our minds? You know, how much time are we spending sitting in front of the TV? How much time are we spending on Facebook or looking at social media? Who are we talking to? Where are we going to for information? Those are things that we can change. And changes we make in those areas can have a significant impact in terms of how we feel. They can have a significant impact in terms of how anxious we are, whether we're experiencing any depression, whether we're finding ways to experience joy. You know, one of the things that we're doing at Pawnee Mental Health as management team, and I might just pause for a second and say that during this time that we've been through so much change, I've been meeting with Pawnee's management team on a daily basis until this week. Things have slowed down enough that we really aren't needing to meet on a weekly basis. But we start every meeting with going around the circle, and it is it's a Zoom circle, by the way. So we're also practicing social distancing here at Pawnee. But going around the circle, and everyone identifies something that they're thankful for, something that they're grateful for, or some just kind of good words, some moment of joy that they experienced between the last time that we were together and the time that we were together. In this case, it would be this morning, because our management team did meet this morning just to, again, to regroup and to identify issues we need to be working on as an organization. And so there are ways that we, there are things that we do have control over, things that we can change, and we need to have the courage to change those things we can. And then that third part of that serenity prayer, you know, after God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, then comes the real kind of kicker, which is the wisdom to know the difference. And wow, you know, sometimes it is that that's probably the real plea or the real challenge, which is to have the wisdom to know, is this something I can change or is this something I cannot change? And if we can be clear about what we can change and what we can't change, then I think we can have a significant impact on our mental health and our well-being as we work to make the changes we can and as we come to terms with accepting the things that we can't change.
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement with you there. And, you know, alcoholism runs in my family. My dad's an alcoholic. My his biological father was as well. And, you know, I'm very sensitive to anyone who's struggling with addiction out there, especially during these times. Robin, we sure appreciate you being on the program and look forward to talking to you again next month.
Yep. Thanks for having me, and stay well, and change the things you can, accept the things you can't, and have the wisdom to figure out what the difference is between the two.
All right. Again, Robin Cole, Executive Director of Pawnee Mental Health, joining us here on In Focus, as she does every month. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have Dennis Butler, Director of the Riley County Police Department, joining us on In Focus.
All right, Brandon, thank you much. Thanks to Robin and also Dr. Timothy Schaefer for some terrific interviews today here on News Radio KMAN. Lineup for the day has Clark Howard coming up after CBS News, followed by the Rush Limbaugh Show, then Dan Patrick and The Game. We have Royals Playback beginning at 7 o'clock tonight. Also a reminder, our next COVID-19 update will be at 5 o'clock with Riley County Health Department Director Julie Gibbs. Do want to remind you that that call screening number, if you believe that you may have symptoms of the coronavirus, is 785-323-6400. All kinds of coronavirus details available at RileyCountyKS.gov.